Services by region. Wheat Belt. Overview. The Wheat Belt region covers 157 square kilometres. Department of Health Western Australia Epidemiology Branch Public Health and Clinical Services Division 2015, which constitutes 6.3% of the total Western Australian landmass and contains the majority of the state's grain-growing areas. Department of Health Wheat Belt Western Australia Government of Western Australia 2015, cited 2015 May 12, available from www.health.wa.gov.au/services/detail.cfm?unit_ID=2240. The Wheat Belt's economy has historically been based on agriculture, particularly cropping, which remains the most dominant industry in the region. But it's also supported by mining, commerce, manufacturing, fishing, and tourism. The Wheat Belt region had a population of almost 80,000 in 2014, representing 3.1% of the state's population. Department of Treasury 2014 population estimates allocated into health service region by the Department of Health 2014. By 2025, the population is expected to reach almost 88,000 persons. However, although the population will increase, the percentage of the state's population residing in the Wheat Belt will decrease to 2.8%. Department of Treasury 2014 population estimates allocated into health service region by the Department of Health 2014. The ABS reported that between 2013 and 2014, the Wheat Belt experienced a slight drop in population, 0.3%. Australian Bureau of Statistics Regional Population Growth, Australia, Western Australia, ABD CAT number 3218.0, March 2015, online publication, www.abs.gov.au, access 12th of May 2015. Services by region. Aboriginal population. The Aboriginal population in the Wheat Belt totaled almost 3,800 people in 2011, which represented 5% of the total Aboriginal population of Western Australia. This is expected to grow to 6,000 by 2025, with the percentage increasing slightly to 5.1%. Mental Health Commission Western Australia internal modelling using data from the Department of Treasury and the Department of Health Western Australia 2014 and Australian Bureau of Statistics 3101.0 Australian Demographic Statistics September 2014 accessed 5th of June 2015 released 26th of March 2015 available at www.abs.gov.au. Services for the Wheat Belt region. People living in the Wheat Belt region require access to services across the service spectrum, including statewide services. See pages 75 to 82. It is important to note that the exact locations and distributions of services will be determined by a combination of consultation process and the assessment of relative feasibility to deliver the service. By the end of 2025, 175,000 hours of support per annum for mental health community support and about 7,000 hours of service for alcohol and other drugs are required to meet the needs of the population in this area. There is no modelled requirement for alcohol and other drug safe places for intoxicated people in the Wheat Belt region. The modelling shows mental health community treatment hours of service need to be delivered at 118,000 hours, whereas alcohol and other drug hours need to total 61,000 per annum by the end of 2025. The increase in resources would allow an expansion of service hubs in the Wheat Belt and increased outreach services to more areas within the region. Currently, there are zero mental health community beds, alcohol and other drug residential rehabilitation beds, and low medical withdrawal beds in the Wheat Belt. And modelling shows that there needs to be 32 beds, 23 beds, and 2 beds, respectively, to meet demand by the end of 2025. The delivery of hospital-based services, including inpatient beds, MHOAs and HITH beds, will need to be informed by consultation and assessment of feasibility to deliver the service during the implementation of the plan. Mental health inpatient beds and HITH beds are required to grow to 27 beds and 7 beds, respectively, by the end of 2025. There may be a requirement for inpatient mental health beds to be flexible in relation to age cohorts due to the limited number of beds required. Other requirements for the Wheatbelt region include 3 beds for alcohol and other drug high and complex medical withdrawal, both from a current base of 0 beds, and the expansion of consultation and liaison services to 9,000 hours of service per annum by the end of 2025. As with all regions, resources dedicated to alcohol and other drug prevention and alcohol and other drug community diversion programs, forensic, need to steadily increase over the next 10 years. Feedback from the Wheatbelt included that declared places need to be established for mentally impaired accused. The Mental Health Commission has included a new strategy and action in the Forensic Services section of the plan. Commission a facility in the community for mentally impaired accused persons with a mental illness, which is an appropriate alternative to prison and hospital, by the end of 2020. See page 99. Services by region. Table 20, summary of the plan matrix, Wheatbelt. Below is an excerpt from the plan matrix. Service type, measure, Southern Country, Wheatbelt, 2025. Prevention, hours in thousands, total, 10. Alcohol and other drug, hours in thousands, 10. Community support services, hours in thousands, total, 182. Mental health, hours in thousands, 175. Alcohol and other drug, harm reduction and personal support, hours in thousands, 6. Alcohol and other drug, post-residential rehabilitation, hours in thousands, 1. Community treatment services, hours in thousands, total, 179. Mental health infant, child and adolescent, hours in thousands, 46. Mental health youth, hours in thousands, 13. Mental health adult, hours in thousands, 36. Mental health older adult, hours in thousands, 23. Alcohol and other drug, all non-residential treatment, hours in thousands, 61. Community bed-based services, beds, total, 57. Mental health community-based, beds, 32. Alcohol and other drug, low medical withdrawal, beds, 2. Alcohol and other drug, residential rehabilitation, beds, 23. Hospital-based services, beds, total, 37. Hours in thousands, total, 9. Mental health inpatient, acute and subacute, non-acute, beds, 27. Mental health hospital in the home, HITH, beds, 7. Alcohol and other drug, high, complex medical withdrawal, beds, 3. Mental health, alcohol and other drug consultation liaison, hours in thousands, 9. Forensic services, hours in thousands, total, 12. Alcohol and other drug community diversion, hours in thousands, 12. Note, some totals may not add up due to rounding. Services by region. In consultation with key stakeholders, including consumers, carers and families, models of service will be developed to achieve a degree of standardisation throughout the state. This will enable a consistent standard of service provision. However, this must be balanced with the key aim of personalisation to meet individual needs and adaptability to meet local area characteristics, including service availability, population profile, diversity and cultural factors. System-wide reform. System-wide reform. Progression of significant system improvements and new initiatives are required to support the achievement of our vision. This section of the plan outlines in greater detail what system-wide reform areas of work need to be undertaken over the next 10 years to support the plan's implementation. In summary, areas of work focus on promoting personal recovery-oriented practice, supporting consumer and carer voice, promoting effective system and individual advocacy, exploring the expansion of individualized funding programs, culturally secure service delivery for Aboriginal people, cultural and social diversity, improving integration and system navigation, continuing the work already underway to improve organisational effectiveness and efficiency, supporting research and evaluation, workforce development to ensure the required suitably skilled workforce is available to deliver the services, programs and initiatives identified within the plan, information and community technology improvements and changes, capital infrastructure. Aim. Together with key stakeholders, including clinicians, consumers, families and carers, implement a range of system-wide reform initiatives to support the transformation of the mental health, alcohol and other drug service system. System-wide reform. Recovery-oriented practice. It is recognised that recovery outcomes are personal and unique for each individual. See page 11 for more information on a definition of recovery. The overarching principle of personal recovery will continue to be promoted across the mental health service continuum, and further investigation into how this concept applies to the alcohol and other drug sector will be progressed. The principles of the National Mental Health Recovery Framework are embedded in the plan and will continue to inform the plan implementation. Development of the future system needs to support autonomy, self-determination, and choice, co-designing of individual plans, the involvement of those with lived experience, such as through the employment of peer workers, families, friends, culture, and community, social inclusion and the challenging of stigmatizing attitudes and discrimination, the provision of family-inclusive practice, trauma-informed care and practice. Many people who access mental health and community sector services have undergone many overwhelming life experiences, interpersonal violence, abuse, and adversity. This includes victims of war and persecution, victims of crime, and people who've experienced family violence and/or child sexual abuse. There are more than 4 million survivors of childhood trauma in Australia. Abuse and trauma history has been reported by 90% of people who use public mental health services. Jennings, A. Models for Developing Trauma-Informed Behavioural Health Systems and Trauma-Specific Services, 2004. Trauma-Informed Practice recognises that past trauma experiences affect a person's present perspectives and responses. Therefore, it is imperative that the workforce is trained to respond appropriately, including minimising the potential for re-traumatisation. Key trauma-informed principles that guide the consumer-staff interactions are safety, trustworthiness, choice, collaboration, and empowerment. Fallot, R.D., Harris, M., Creating Cultures of Trauma-Informed Care, a Self-Assessment and Planning Protocol, See Connections, 2009. Complex trauma programs are resource-intensive, however, they can be delivered in the community and encompass recovery, harm minimization, and de-diagnosis paradigms. They are designed to assist people to find other ways of managing distress without resorting to familiar self-harm techniques. These programs have potential to take pressure off acute hospital-based services and also reduce the suicide rate. Commissioning of mental health community treatment will require services to be able to offer evidence-based support and treatment for people with a history of trauma. Organisations will need to invest in the training and development of their workforce in trauma-informed practice. System-wide reform. Actions. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to investigate international best practice recovery culture change programs, incorporate recovery principles in the design of service models and associated practices, procedures, protocols, and commissioning practices, explore how the concept of recovery applies to the alcohol and other drug sector, and how the principles of recovery-oriented practice can be embedded in service delivery where appropriate. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to progress the implementation of recovery-oriented culture change programs as appropriate, monitor the incorporation of recovery principles in the design of service models and associated practices, procedures, protocols, and commissioning practices. System-wide reform, co-production and co-design with consumers, families, and carers. Supporting consumers, families, and carers to actively participate in decision-making, including co-production and co-design of policy, planning, service delivery, evaluation, and research, is important. Meaningful engagement can enable services to be developed and delivered in a way that will meet consumer, family, and carer needs. It can also improve communication, information flow, linkages, and coordination, ultimately resulting in better outcomes for consumers, families, and carers. Consumers, families, and carers can participate in working groups, forums, advisory councils, boards, and in the co-production and co-design of new policies, programs, initiatives, and legislation. Appropriate training and support is essential to enable consumers, families, and carers to feel confident in their role and feel supported to contribute. In addition, particular emphasis needs to be given to innovative and effective ways to engage with marginalised groups, including Aboriginal people and CALD people, to ensure they are supported to fully and actively participate. Many organisations responsible for commissioning and/or service delivery already have a range of mechanisms in place to involve consumers, families, and carers in a meaningful way, whereas others need to significantly enhance consumer, family, and carer involvement. Actions. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to develop a statewide mental health, alcohol and other drug consumer, family and carer involvement framework that will outline best practice principles and practices in relation to consumer and carer involvement, co-production and co-design. Incorporate a range of mechanisms in commissioning and service provision practices to enable the involvement of consumers, families and carers in co-production and co-design of policy, planning, service delivery, evaluation and research, with a particular focus on enabling the involvement of marginalised groups, including Aboriginal people. Consider the establishment of an alcohol and other drug consumer peak body. Provide consumers, families and carers with access to appropriate training to support them in their role as a consumer and or carer representative. Include consumer experience and satisfaction indicators in the plan evaluation process and ongoing contract monitoring. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to monitor the involvement of consumers, families and carers in co-production and co-design of policy, planning, service delivery, evaluation and research, and continue to provide access to training to support consumers, families and carers. System-wide reform. Supporting the voice of clinicians and health workers. In addition to supporting the voices of consumers, families and carers, the views of clinicians and health workers also need to be heard by commissioning agencies, service managers, policymakers and all levels of government. The Mental Health Network is a recently established group of clinicians and health workers that have an interest in mental health, alcohol and other drugs. Members come from primary, secondary and tertiary services. It is anticipated through the Mental Health Network, clinicians and health workers will be supported to contribute to service development and reform alongside consumers, families and carers. This will be further supported by the systemic advocacy undertaken by peak bodies such as the Western Australian Association for Mental Health, WAAMH, and the Western Australian Network of Alcohol and Drug Agencies, WANADA. System-wide reform. Advocacy. Advocacy can be individual or systemic. Individual advocacy is the process of standing alongside an individual to ensure they are able to speak out, to express their views and uphold their rights. People with Disabilities Western Australia Incorporated, Individual Advocacy, 2015, cited 2015, May 12, available from pwdwa.org/individual-advocacy/. Systemic advocacy is usually carried out by an organisation who aims to influence public policy. Systemic advocacy organisations draw on the expertise and represent the collective views of their members, the broader community, consumers, families and carers. Both systemic and individual advocacy are essential elements of the mental health, alcohol and other drug system. Effective, transparent complaints mechanisms are also required to further support system and quality improvement. At present, individual advocacy services are available, predominantly for people who require assistance under the Mental Health Act 2014. Individual, independent advocacy must be accessible to all mental health, alcohol and other drug service consumers, families and carers. It is therefore the intention to further explore the availability of individual advocacy and, where appropriate, expand access. Further information is available in the Community Support Services section, page 40. Systemic advocacy is currently undertaken by a range of mental health, alcohol and other drug organisations, and the aim is to continue to support these activities. State government departments, for example, Mental Health Commission, Department of Health, also have a role to play, working with other non-health sectors and levels of government to ensure people with or at risk of mental health, alcohol and other drug problems are considered in public policy decisions. Other non-health sector agencies include, but are not limited to, housing, police, child protection, disability services, education, employment agencies, local and Commonwealth governments. Actions. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to continue to support effective systemic advocacy organisations, further improve access to transparent and effective complaints mechanisms across the mental health, alcohol and other drug system. Actions on page 42 relate to the expansion of access to individual advocacy. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to monitor access to individual advocacy services and the effectiveness of complaints mechanisms. System-wide reform. Individualised funding. Individualised funding refers to a portable package of funds allocated to a person who is supported to choose how to spend the funds to purchase personalised supports and services. The introduction of individualised funding programs has been progressing internationally, as well as locally in Western Australia. The National Disability Insurance Scheme, NDIS, see page 41 for more information, and the Individualised Community Living Strategy, ICLS, see page 40 for more information, are two examples. Individualised funding programs, when operating effectively, have the potential to greatly increase access to personalised service provision. The potential expansion of individualised funding programs will be explored further during the plan implementation. Expansion of such programs will be informed by international best practice, as well as evaluations of local programs such as the NDIS and ICLS. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to monitor evidence emerging from existing individualised funding programs and further explore the potential to expand access to a range of individualised funding programs across the service system. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to continue to monitor the implementation of individualised funding programs. System-wide reform. Aboriginal people. Aboriginal health means not just the physical well-being of an individual, but refers to the social, emotional, and cultural well-being of the whole community in which each individual is able to achieve their full potential as a human being, thereby bringing about the total well-being of their community. It is a whole-of-life view and includes the cyclical concept of life, death, life. National Aboriginal Health Strategy 1989, as cited in the Western Australian Aboriginal Health and Wellbeing Framework. In Western Australia, Aboriginal people are hospitalised 6 times more often than non-Aboriginal people for alcohol-related causes. Department of Health Western Australia Health Tracks reporting Alcohol Hospitalisations by Aboriginal Status 2003 to 2012 Epidemiology Branch System Policy and Planning Department of Health Western Australia in collaboration with the CRC for Spatial Information 2014 cited 23rd of June 2014 and 2.5 times more often for illicit drugs. Department of Health Western Australia Health Tracks reporting Alcohol Hospitalisations by Aboriginal Status 2003 to 2012 Epidemiology Branch System Policy and Planning Department of Health Western Australia in collaboration with the CRC for Spatial Information 2014 cited 23rd of June 2014. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people aged 18 years and over were 2.5 times more likely than non-Indigenous people to have experienced high or very high levels of psychological distress. Australian Bureau of Statistics, the health and welfare of Australia's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, Adult Health, Psychological Distress, ABS CAT number 4704.0, October 2010, online publication www.abs.gov.au, accessed 15th of September 2014. This requires mental health, alcohol and other drug services to understand the role of culture, provide non-discriminatory care and respond to the cultural requirements of Aboriginal people. The recently released Western Australian Aboriginal Health and Wellbeing Framework 2015 to 2030 will be used to guide the appropriate implementation of the plan with Aboriginal communities. The Looking Forward project aims to design, develop, and pilot a culturally safe mental health service framework that will benefit the community and provide a benchmark for organisations to provide more effective mental health services to Aboriginal people. The project is a partnership between public and non-government service providers, GPs and other health GPs and other health professions. The outcomes of the project will be used to inform future service development in the mental health, alcohol and other drug sector. System-wide reform. Strategies to improve the health and well-being of Aboriginal people need to be developed by and with Aboriginal people, communities and elders, taking into account the Aboriginal definition of health and well-being. The continued funding of the statewide specialist Aboriginal Mental Health Service, see page 52, is one element of the service system which supports the health and well-being of Aboriginal people. Other dedicated Aboriginal programs and services will be developed across the service system as appropriate, particularly in regional areas. This will involve cultural rehabilitation and healing programs where appropriate. Increasing the Aboriginal workforce across the service spectrum is also a key priority. However, it should be noted, the delivery of culturally secure services is the responsibility of all staff working across the mental health, alcohol and other drug service system. Workforce planning and workforce development initiatives are discussed on page 161. Traditional Aboriginal healers. The role of traditional healers is recognised in the Mental Health Act 2014, Act. The Act defines a traditional healer as a person of Aboriginal descent who uses traditional, including spiritual, methods of healing and is recognised by the community as a traditional healer. The Act requires assessment and examination of a person of Aboriginal descent to be conducted in collaboration with Aboriginal mental health workers and significant members of the person's community, including elders and traditional healers. The same collaboration is required in relation to the provision of treatment. System-wide reform. Actions. By the end of 2017, to prepare for the future, we aim to incorporate culturally secure and respectful, non-discriminatory principles in the design of service models and associated practices, procedures, protocols, and commissioning practices. Additional actions relating to services for Aboriginal people and communities are included throughout the plan. By the end of 2020, to rebalance the system, there is a need to monitor the extent to which services have incorporated culturally secure and respectful, non-discriminatory principles in the design of service modules and associated practices, procedures, protocols, and commissioning practices.